Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. The City That Was, written for Suspense by Richard Wilde. It is now 50 years since the first motion picture was made amidst the orange groves of a sleepy little California village called Hollywood. And a latter-day gold rush began. Hollywood quickly became a sprawling, brawling boomtown, and true to the tradition of the Western frontier, a tradition it helped to create and has fondly fostered, Hollywood lived violently. And not a few of its citizens died violently, with and sometimes without their boots on. The stakes were high, worldwide fame, an undreamt of fortune. And the passions that poured onto the silver screen sometimes spilled over into private lives with lethal results. In a moment, The City That Was by Richard Wilde.
Hollywood of 35 years ago. There was a town for you. It flamed with color, it bubbled with intrigue, and it frequently simmered with sin. Gods and goddesses strolled the boulevard in those days and rode to the studio in their $20,000 custom-built Rolls Royces. It was the era of Valentino and Mabel Normand and Wallace Reed, of Barbara Lamar and William Desmond Taylor and William S. Hart, and the great vamps, Nita Naldi, Pola Negri, Peter Barrow. It was the era, too, of Anthony Kendall, matinee idol turned movie king, and his leading lady, Rena Schelfante, who used to be called the golden flame of the silver screen. You must remember them, and how they were tied up with the Korsakov killing. All the facts of that poor celebre were not told at the time, but they can be told now. And this is what really happened that rainy night in November, 35 years ago. Tony and Rena had finished a long day's shooting. It was nearly 7 o'clock when Tony tooled his big white Cunningham Roadster into the driveway of his Whitley Heights estate. He stopped the car under the arch of the entrance gate and was reaching for the electric control button when a masked figure with a gun stepped out from the darkness.
All right. Hold it right there. What is this?
It's the end of the line for you, big shot.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Here's where your boyfriend gets what's coming to him.
Tony, it's Bart Malloy.
Now, that wasn't very smart to recognize me, Rena. Now, you go with him.
All right, Bart. Cut the melodrama. You're drunk. Now, go on home and sleep it off. We'll see you at the studio tomorrow.
There isn't going to be any tomorrow for you two. Because I'm going
to... Look out, Bart, behind you! Now, I'll just unload it so nobody can get hurt. Here, you can have it back now. Now, go on home and get some shut-eye. I'll see you in the morning.
So you can fire me in front of the whole crew?
How did you know we were going to fire?
Not we, you. I heard all about it an hour ago. Alec Benson didn't want to let me out. You're the one who cut my throat. So you might as well call the cops and do the complete job on me.
I have no intention of calling the cops.
Why not? That would make your day perfect.
Now look, Bart. Suppose we forget all about this, hmm? All three of us. Right, Rena?
Of course.
Gee, that's big of you. Both of you. Maybe someday I can pay you back.
Now, go on home, Bart. You need sleep.
Sure, that's all I need. Just a little sleep. And thanks, Tony. Thanks for everything.
Tony.
Yes, darling.
Would you mind driving me straight on home?
Well, what about dinner?
Oh, I don't feel much like eating now. I just want to go home.
All right.
Tony, why did you put Barton on the picture in the first place?
He was on the skits. There wasn't a casting director in town who'd hire him.
You and your big heart. Don't you know that the surest way to make a man hate you is to do him a kindness?
Maybe. But he promised he'd go on the wagon.
So the first day he showed up pink-eyed as a rabbit and chewing cloves to camouflage the smell of whiskey.
He's always chewed cloves as long as I've known.
Sure he has. It's the trademark of an alcoholic. Tony, you know, he scares me.
Nah, don't be silly, darling. Bart may be lush, but he's not a murderer.
Of course Bart Malloy didn't take Tony's advice and go home. The evening was still young, and in his misery he needed company. So he headed for Henry's on Hollywood Boulevard. Everybody went to Henry's in those days. It was packed every night with actors, directors, writers, producers, come to see and be seen, and to partake of Henry's wonderful turkey sandwiches, his fabulous German pancakes, and his fragrant coffee. Malloy is downing cup after cup of it now, each one generously laced with whiskey from his hip flask. Also, he's airing his grievances to Fritz, the friendly waiter who knows him well.
So, I take a drink. One measly drink.
Yeah.
And he tosses me off the picture. He's a louse, that's what he is. Star-spangled louse.
Nein, Mr. Malloy, das ist nicht so. Mr. Kendall's a fine gentleman, a real fine gentleman.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something, Fritz. I'm going to fix your fine gentleman's wagon for him if it's the last thing I ever do.
Oh, you shouldn't say such things, Mr. Malloy, especially at such a time as this. Just so soon as he's finished his picture, he and Miss Alfante will be...
Yeah, I know. Maybe I ought to figure out a nice present for him, huh?
That sounds better, Mr. Malloy. You know something? I always thought Miss Alfante would marry that Russian director... what's his name?
Korsakov.
Oh, yeah.
Sergei Korsakov, yeah. Sure were crazy about each other until Tony came along. Fritz,
huh?
You may not know, but you just gave me a terrific idea.
Bart Malloy lost no time in putting his terrific idea into action. First, he telephoned the director, Sergei Korsakov, and made a date to drop by his apartment later that evening. Then he called Reina Schalfante and employed his not inconsiderable talent as a mimic.
Hello,
this is Hollywood 2749.
Yes, it is.
May I speak, please, with Miss Schalfante? I'm Dr. von Kesselring, Dr. Friedrich von Kesselring.
This is Miss Schalfante, doctor.
I am Mr. Korsakov's physician, Miss Schalfante. I have, I regret to say, some unhappy news for you.
Well, is something the matter with Sergei?
He has suffered a coronary occlusion.
Oh, no!
Malloy counted on the rainy streets and the fact that Rena had to come all the way in from Beverly Hills to give him the time he needed with Korsakov. 5 minutes later, he pulled up in front of the Russian director's house high in the Hollywood Hills. Well, not exactly in front of the house, for it perched 60 feet above the street and was reached by a private elevator which opened on the sidewalk. Very futuristic, a Hollywood showplace at the time, this hideaway of the mad Russian. Malloy pushed the bell. The elevator door clicked open. And a moment later, he stepped out of the cage into Sergei Korsakov's living room.
Hello, Sergei.
How are you, my friend? It's good to see you.
Good to see you. It's this a lousy night?
For me, it's perfect. I sit before the fire and I try to solve chess problems. You will have some tea? Over there is samovar.
Tea?
Also brandy, whiskey, vodka. Choose it for yourself.
Well, maybe just a little one.
You know, to cut the fog.
Good. Now, sit down and tell me why you call me.
Well, Sergei, I need some advice.
Well, I will be glad to...
It's like this. I'm going to come out of this picture I'm on with quite a bit of dough. You told me you'd been buying real estate, remember?
No. I have quite a bit of property in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica, that's too far out. Like the San Fernando Valley. Can't tell me that people are ever going to go all the way out there. Hey, I thought you said you were going to be alone tonight.
I expect no one.
Maybe your luck is changing, huh, boy? Well, don't get up. I'll send the elevator back down. And I'll just slip out the service entrance.
But I assure you,
yeah,
Bart...
I know. Probably your maiden aunt just in from Vladivostok. Just the same, I'll go out the back way so as not to embarrass the lady.
You have it a dirty mind, my friend. I would suggest that you... Bart, what does it mean? The gun.
I guess you might say it means goodbye, Sergei.
Malloy moved fast now. He wiped his fingerprints from the smoking gun and from the whiskey glass. Then he dropped the gun to the floor and headed for the service entrance. He was gone when the elevator stopped and Rena walked into the living room to discover Sergei's bullet-riddled body sprawled on the floor. When the police arrived, summoned by a neighbor who heard the shooting, they found her there, gun in hand, kneeling over the body, sobbing over and over.
Who did it, Sergei? Who did it? Who did it?
They allowed Rena Chalfanti one phone call. Naturally, she called Tony Kendall. But there wasn't much he or his attorney could do for her, since there's no bail on a murder charge. So Tony went to the scene of the crime, and there he found that an old friend of his was in charge of the investigation, Sergeant Kay of Homicide.
I'm sorry, Tony, but it just don't look good for your girlfriend.
But Rena is no killer.
That's not for me to say. I can only go by the evidence I find, and, well, it all points to her.
But where's the motive? Rena had no motive.
She might have.
What do you mean?
Well, this is just a theory, of course.
All right, let's have it.
You may not like it, Tony.
I told you. Go ahead.
Well, she and Korsakov were, they were pretty good friends before you came along, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he's still in love with her. Maybe he doesn't want her to marry you. Maybe he threatens to do something to stop the wedding.
I see. And maybe she shoots him.
Right.
Wrong. Marty, Rena is not a killer.
Maybe, but it looks like she did it.
You've been all over the place, I suppose.
Stem to stern. And everything strictly copacetic, except for a whiskey glass with no fingerprints on it.
A what?
This one right here, see? Somebody had a shot of bourbon out of it, and then wiped off the prints.
Oh, wait a minute. Sergei didn't drink.
He didn't? Well, then, maybe your girlfriend...
Here we go with that maybe routine again. Now, Marty, for your information, Rena isn't a drinker either. That samovar over there is more in her line.
Oh, so that's what you call that thing. What's it for?
For making tea. Russian style.
What's all this stuff in these little saucers?
Oh... Lemon peel, cinnamon, rose petals, cloves. They put it in the tea.
All at once?
No. One at a time.
Oh. Well, then Korsakov must have been a clove boy. We found a lot of them on the floor.
Cloves, hmm? And a whiskey glass.
Yeah. You got a theory?
Maybe I have.
What is it?
I'll let you know when I've proved it.
Tony Kendall was in makeup and on the set at 8 o'clock the next morning. When the cameras were in place, and the lights were all set up for the climax scene of Passion Lost, the big fight scene. Alec Benson, the director, greeted Tony with the long face usually reserved for funerals.
Tony, I just heard about Rena. What a terror.
All right, save your sympathy. She's innocent.
Well, of course. But what's it going to do to our shooting schedule?
You're just chock full of compassion, aren't you?
Well, I mean...
How's the great man this morning?
Good morning, Bart.
Who's going to lower the boom? You or Alec?
Well, Bart...
I told you last night we'd forget all about it, Bart.
I thought you meant...
You're still on the picture, Bart.
But, Tony, I've already hired...
You heard me, Alec. Tony, I don't know what to say.
Let's save it.
Let's get on with the fight scene.
Okay. Now, this has got to top any fight scene that's ever been photographed. Sam! I can't hear myself think! All right, you guys, hold up handles!
Now, we've got to make this brawl in the spoilers look like a chorus boy's picnic. Now, I want...
Look where you're going, knucklehead! Don't trip over those cables!
Will you please knock it off, Sam? You make more noise than the hammers.
Sorry, Mr. Benson.
Now, let's get the suspense of the fight in Tolerable David, the brutality of Noah Beery and the Sea Wolf, the cruelty
of... Look, Alec, why don't you let Bart and me sort of work it out by ourselves first?
Hmm?
Then we'll tell you how we see it, and if it's okay with you, we'll try a take.
Well, all right. Just call me when you're ready.
Fine. Come on, Bart. Let's block out the action. We begin here on the balcony when I find you coming out of Helena's room.
Yeah.
Now, you go for your gun, but before you can get it out from under your...
Tony.
Yes.
I want to thank you for keeping me on the pictures.
All right, Bart. Now, as I was saying, when you,
I want you to know how sorry I am about Rena.
Are you really? Are you really sorry?
I sure am. Rena's one of the greatest...
Then you'll be happy to know that she did not kill Korsakov.
No? Then, who did?
Why, you did, Malloy. You killed him.
What? You must be out of your mind. What would I want
you to... You killed him. And then you framed Rena. You did it for revenge. To get back at me.
You're talking like a maniac.
What about the clothes that dropped out of your pocket onto the...
Korsakov had clothes, too. They were by the samovar.
That does it. You were there, Malloy, weren't you? And you killed him.
Try and prove it.
I won't have to prove it. You're going to admit it.
I am, huh?
That's right. I am going to beat the truth out of you right now.
Keep away from me, Kendall. Keep away, or
I'm going to...
from your heels. That's the idea. A real payman.
You did it, didn't you, Malloy?
You killed
me. Get your hands up my throat. I can't breathe.
Now tell me the truth, Malloy. Give it to me straight or I will kill you right here and now.
Go a little easy on that strangle, Tony. The senses in Iowa may squawk about it.
Come on, Malloy. This is your last chance.
Yes, I did it.
All right. Cut. Save those lights.
Now, look. I realize I'm only the director around here. But even so, would you mind letting me in on...
Tell him, Malloy. Tell him or I'll...
I killed Korsakov.
All right. Call Marty Kay, will you? Tell him we've got his killer for him. You better have a couple of the boys keep an eye on Malloy until he gets here.
What are you going to do?
Me? I'm going over and get my girl out of the jailhouse.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, a story out of the Hollywood of the 20s, the city that was. As you know, Rena and Tony Kendall are still one of the film capital's happiest couples. As a matter of fact, I had tea with them last week. Rena served from a great brass samovar, and I had my choice of sugar and cream and rum, of course. And then there were little china bowls filled with slivers of lemon peel and dried rose petals and sticks of cinnamon. But do you know something strange? There weren't any clothes.
Suspense.
You have been listening to The City That Was, written for Suspense by Richard Weil. Heard in tonight's story were House Jameson as the narrator, Michael Caine as Bart Malloy, Martha Greenhouse as Rena, Bernard Grant as Kendall, and also included in the cast were Danny Occo, Sam Raskin, and George Petrie.